content, the sacred space I created, and then I made a cradle and kept Damodar there. Because when we are preaching, we say we have to chant and pray to the Lord as though we are doing service to a small kid without expecting anything from the. Because as a small child, a mother or a father does things without expecting a thing from the child. So I kept that Damodar in my heart and I chanted and it was great wisdom. Thank you, brother. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Bol. Anyone else like to share?
Hare Krishna. Actually, I would want to relate a thing what I read. I don't remember in one of the books. I don't know whether it was Miraculous Second Avenue or was it by Gurudas Prabhu, by his example. I don't know where I read this, but one thing which struck me was once when they were going on a morning walk along with Srila Prabhupada in the park, they see a bum sleeping on the park, and then just when they are passing, Srila Prabhupada says he's fortunate, and then I think it is Gurudas Prabhu, I'm not sure, then he thinks, he's just lying there and he's a bum, and why Srila Prabhupada is saying this, you know, like he just walked a little further down and then he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why do you say that he's fortunate? Then Prabhupada was silent for a few seconds or whatever, and then he said, we are his good fortune. And then Gurudas Prabhu says he was just contemplating on that. Then actually, yes, you know, like, actually when I read that and when I read the contemplation of Gurudas Prabhu, it's really true in all our lives. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is our good fortune. Otherwise, if we had not come into contact with Srila Prabhupada through his, through his disciples or through his books, if we didn't hear from him, from his disciples or from his books, or his lectures, or his letters, we would have been like that bum, maybe not on the park bench, but somewhere else. And so it was really touching, and you know, like, so I was just meditating on that, like, how wonderful Srila Prabhupada is, and you know, when you said you need to be grateful, I was wondering, okay, what are the gratitude, I mean, how should I convey this gratitude to, in what way I should convey? So then I was just thinking about this, and yes, I think, yes, Srila Prabhupada is our good fortune, and he has made our good fortune, and it's up to us how we continue to have that. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Yes?
Trying to create one, and all the filth that was there was sort of coming to the surface. I don't know if this is quite understand, but that's how I'm able to connect now. Thought I'll just share that. And by your mercy, I think thanks for getting that out. And I hope it continues in that way.
Thank you. I want to just make a comment on that, because chanting is a process of purification, and often when we see the purification, we become concerned about it, or disturbed or upset. And all that's happening really is not that something is there that wasn't there, it's just that we're becoming aware of what was there. Because sometimes we say, oh no, I chanted and I saw something inside. We say, but Prabhu, it was already inside, you just didn't see it before. And the Holy Name is shining light on it. And that's the process of purification and the process of humility, to come in touch with the false as they're being eliminated. So it's actually part of the process. So sometimes you may feel bad, but as we're saying, feeling bad is also part of the process of humility, by recognizing what's bad in me. And we did one retreat, and after the 64 round day, the situation that you expressed was expressed many times over by different devotees. And we had to acknowledge that the process was working. And so, rather than become discouraged, you should think the process is working. And in fact, you could say, if I don't see the bad, then I should be worried. Maybe it's not working. So it's actually a sign that it is working. So that's the actual way to see it. Who else would like to share?
Something very nice about this retreat or workshop was, for me or for maybe many of you, distractions would be one of the important things that stop us from attentive chanting. And we now know that inattentive chanting is the worst thing. If you even don't commit all 10 offenses, but if you just do inattentive chanting, that's enough to spoil everything. And Mahatma Prabhu has very clearly convinced from the past maybe 1.5-2 days that we have to be really attentive. And if Mahatma Prabhu was not there yesterday and passing comments, you give your mind to Krishna, ask Krishna to take your mind, ask Krishna to accept your heart. And as he was saying, because he would give a little time to chant also, first he made Prabhupada chant, and we hear, and that was most important. Maybe we can continue with the same tempo if we all first hear Prabhupada chanting for some time and then chant with Prabhupada for some time, and then we can maybe stop Prabhupada and we can go on chanting. That would automatically create our sacred space also. And then it's easy if we can always remember how Mahatma Prabhu, you know, in between would comment, give you, Krishna, please accept my heart, and then chant Hare Krishna, accept my heart. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, instead of, you know, why I should not sleep now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not that way, you know, it's the other way. You know, we have to keep commenting something or the other. Why not do the better comment rather than the negative comment? So we have to chant anyway. So let's chant good rounds. That much time for 16 rounds we have to give anyway. So let's do it in a good way. You know, this was a comment I read and I'm convinced also. So it was very, very helpful to get convinced to do attentive rounds. You know, we are not doing attentive rounds, that's where we are all failing. And I think for people of Bangalore, it is very, very, very important to do attentive rounds, because we have to have much bigger book distributions. If people here in Bangalore can do without the self, without the help of gurus, you know, in the name of Ritvik or whatever, if they can do so big service, and we, with the help of, you know, people like Mahatma Prabhu, we don't have Prabhupada, but we have somebody very compassionate like Mahatma Prabhu coming here and putting all the effort. Even he does not take a break, or even if he wants to, we don't allow him, we go and talk to him, you know. And he's really, Prabhupada had told, I have spilled so many gallons of blood to make each one of you devotees. And he's compassionately coming here, giving all his time, all his energy, and I rush to go there to hear, you know, and he's going on talking, every time nectar flowing. It's only to convince us to do our attentive chanting. It's only attentive chanting. You know, because I know most of you are so sweet here. People don't commit that kind of offenses. Most of them are very nice. Only distractions. So Mahatma Prabhu had to come all the way to say, you do it, you know, to convince us to do attentive rounds. Because if you are convinced, it's just a fraction of a moment. And as Mahatma Prabhu has told, I am very sure, if we just remember this one thing of attentive rounds, and if we can hear Prabhupada and then chant, I'm sure by the time he comes next time, many of us would be doing Shuddhanam. Thank you very much.
Just I am still unable to understand the create a sacred space. Is it keep all the thoughts, other material thoughts away from your mind, keep the space vacuum, empty, to receive the holy name? Or some other is said just to remember, keep a Damodar in your heart or Radha and Krishna in your heart? Is it some form here to push it inside?
It's both.
Huh?
It's both. Take out. Remember I gave the example, your guru is coming to your house, so you clean up all the things that are in the way, and you bring out all, you know, then you bring out the incense, you bring out the cushion for him. So first, you get rid of your magazines, the crumbs on the floor, the toys, the, you know, this and that, the videos, you know, you clean it all up, and then you bring in the incense, the cushion, the pictures of the deities, you cover your television with a cloth, you hide the videos, you know, all that. So it's both. You're creating the space, you have to move things out to move in the right feeling. So what you're bringing into your space is the right mood, the right attitude, the prayers you want to offer to the Holy Name, the mood you want to bring in. Because The real essence of what we're talking about is, if you look at inattentive chanting as the enemy, as the bottom where you don't want to be, then if you look at what is the opposite of inattentive chanting, it has to be chanting with feeling, with devotion. It has to be the exact opposite, because inattentive is a total disconnection from the heart. It's just distraction, no interest. So the sacred space has to bring that heart into it, because that's the medicine to cure the inattention is the heart, is the feeling, because it's the exact opposite of inattention. So when you bring that in, it cures the inattention automatically. It's like in the forgiveness workshop, we ask the devotees at the end to offer appreciation of the person who they were trying to forgive. Because when you offer appreciation, ill thoughts, negative thoughts of that person don't remain, because it's contrary. Just like in controlling the mind, Pantanjali advises, if you have a thought that you don't want, think the opposite. It's like the anti-thought. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, for example, when you look at the 10 offenses, there's positive behavior, which is the opposite. So he said, it says, don't offend, don't blaspheme the devotee. So he said, so the behavior to counter that is to serve the devotee. So for each offense, he gave a recommended behavior, which is the opposite. So in my experience, the things we bring into the sacred space, the feelings, the emotions, the ability to be with Krishna, to be present, to appreciate the Holy Name, all those things counter the inattention. It's, you know, they say to create a good habit, if you want to get rid of a bad habit, just replace it with a positive habit, another habit. So that's the idea. You're bringing in all the things that will create the proper mood. And then automatically the inattention goes away. You don't even have to fight it. If you don't bring in those things, you may be fighting it more. Because you just cleared them out, but now there's your chanting, it has to have some feeling, some taste. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I'd like to share some two wonderful thoughts.
Yes, please.
Which happened today. The very first thing was, the moment I woke up and freshened up, and just before I go to chant, as usual I pay obeisances to Krishna Balaram, and it was so surprising that every day I have to just mechanically pay obeisances. But it was nice to see the reciprocation of Krishna Balaram. They said, ah, you're back again there. Come, let's say, I'd like to listen to you. That was something that made me feel
wonderful. They were waiting all day to hear it, right?
It felt, certainly felt very nice. And secondly, something very, very nice happened when you just gave us the thought of creating an inner space. I remember some wonderful statement what Mahanidhi Swami Maharaj had mentioned in one of the art of chanting. And I tried practicing that, and it was such a wonderful experience. He says, you know, I created a wonderful altar with all the bedecked jewels, washed them with tears of surrender, and prayed with garlands of Prema-nama. With that mood I chanted, and it was feeling great in my heart.
Jai, Hare Krishna. You know, there's a, Prabhupada once said that you should build, it was a meditation Prabhupada gave for chanting, so you should build a diamond throne in your heart. Then you bring Krishna in your heart to sit on the diamond throne, and you offer him the flowers of the Maha Mantra in your meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So you're worshipping Krishna with the flowers of the Maha Mantra. You can worship your guru with the Maha Mantra. You can offer the holy name. Your guru doesn't want your money, he wants the holy names. Offer him more holy names than more money. Oh, you can offer both. He could use the money, but he really wants you to offer the holy names.
So, Hare Krishna, oh, I have a question, Prabhu.
Where are you? Oh, okay. It's very confusing because I hear you over here. I can't see where you are.
So you told that chanting is about, all about relationship. So it is to be natural. It cannot be like artificial. So when you are chanting and you are creating a sacred space and you are calling Krishna, so that time if you have some problems.
Oh, so problems. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
So you can share that problems also.
You know, there's a verse in Nectar Devotion where the devotee comes in front of Krishna and he said, Krishna, I'm so sinful. Done so many bad things, and he's confessing to Krishna, I'm ashamed to tell you everything I've done. So that's relationship, where number one, you confess, Krishna, this is where I'm at. I've done so many bad things. Then there's another, then Prabhupada said, you should go to the deity and say, my dear sir, this is my problem. You should tell him your problem. And Prabhupada said, and he will take care of it. My dear sir, this is my problem. Actually, Prabhupada said, go to Gornitai and say, my dear sir, this is my problem, and he'll take care of your problem. So in the same way, I actually wanted to do this exercise, but we didn't have time. One thing you can do on your own is you can meditate on something which you feel is an obstacle to your relationship with Krishna. And in your chanting, you can pray to Krishna to help you overcome that obstacle. So let's say you have the obstacle, you feel an obstacle is pride. So you can be chanting, say, Krishna, please help me understand humility. Or, Krishna, please make me humble. It's kind of dangerous if you pray like that when you're married, because if you probably got 5 minutes later, your wife may come in and give you a hard time. And you understand Krishna's making me humble. So you have to really make sure you want that when you pray for it. But that's the idea. We have some obstacle, something, some attachment, and we realize it's not good for our bhakti. So we can pray to the Holy Name, please help me overcome this obstacle. Please give me the intelligence, give me the power. A lot of times we're weak, we have a weak heart, or we're not so intelligent, and we become attracted to something. So in that state, that is our humility, that we feel helpless, and we pray to the Holy Name in our helplessness. That's part of humility, feeling helpless. So that's Trinadapi Sunichana, Hare Krishna, I'm helpless, Krishna help me. We can even pray, I'm helpless to chant your name, please help me chant your name. I'm helpless to become a pure devotee, please help me. That's Trinadapi Sunichana. We need help. And pride is, I don't need anybody's help, I do it myself. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained, that's the meaning of Trinadapi Sunichana. I need help. Vaisheshika, the minister of book distribution all over the world, after he distributes a book or meets a person, he said, will you chant this? Will you chant this for me? I don't know what he tells them, a mantra or something. Will you chant this for me? And they say, what does it mean? He says, it means I need help. That's how he explains it to the Americans. So what does this mean? He says, it means I need help. And that's really what the Maha Mantra means. You know, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Krishna, I need your help. So part of humility means to become aware of where we need help. So in your awareness, whatever that is, that attachment, that obstacle. For example, let's say you sat down with Krishna. Krishna sat next to you. And we were having a counseling session. Krishna said, we have some problem with our relationship. So I brought in Narada Muni here, and he's going to mediate, and we're having a counseling session. And Krishna says, let me go first. I have some issues with you. So Krishna starts telling what his issues are. And so you could think, well, if I went into counseling with Krishna, what would be his issue with me? What would he say? You know, you're a big show-off, you want everybody to honor you. What would Krishna say? I want you back, yeah. But now he's telling, yeah, I want you back and you don't want to come back. I have an issue with that. So you might think, well, you know, if you think of a relationship and you think, well, what's getting in the way between me and Krishna? And then Narada Muni says, now it's your turn. You go, Krishna, I got some issues with you. You know, I've been a devotee for so many years, and, you know, last week this bad thing happened. How could you? So we have our issues also, don't we? Right? And we know those are not real issues. It's just our maya. So you look at those things in your life, and you say, okay, you know, Krishna, I don't understand why you did this to me. There's something getting in the way of the relationship. It's very common. You know, my mother was a good devotee and everything, and she died of cancer, and something there in your, like, how could Krishna do this? Something in the back of your mind. So you bring these things up and you pray to the Holy Name, please help me understand. Whatever it is. The Holy Name will do everything. The Holy Name will give everything. The Holy Name is the essence of everything. It will give everything, it will do everything, whatever you want. That's the faith we have, or we should have. Right? That's our faith. It will do everything. The only reason, or the main reason we don't have the faith is because we commit aparad when we chant, and then nothing happens, except we remain materially attached. Then we think the Holy Name's not working. Right?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I'm over here.
Oh, okay.
Prabhu, I want to thank you from the deepest core of my heart on the point which you explained in the morning class about book distribution marathon. That if you distribute books, you are not only fulfilling the purpose of Prabhupada, but his own spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also. And it's like grandfather giving his blessings to his children. Prabhu, I don't have my grandfather and grandmother. They both passed away before I was born. So today when you said that point, I was burst into tears, literally. And I thought, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is not here, but I saw your figure as if you are blessed, keeping your hand on my head and blessing me. The whole conception of Bhuk Marathon got changed for me. And with that, I would like to thank our, he is the temple coordinator, Krishna Mitra Prabhu, the person who stood up and showed you the pig portraits. He is the temple coordinator of the place where I am staying, Prabhu. And he is the person who is taking in the lead into this book distribution. So I would like to convey my gratitude to him that he is allowing me to do this beautiful service. And the whole new concept, with the whole new conception of the change perspective, I would like to help in whatever way possible.
Hare Bol. Okay, so now we get a special prize, a story. This is the history of how big book distribution began in the Hare Krishna movement. When the movement began, there were no big books, only magazines. And we sold the magazines for 25 cents. 25 cents is, what, 20 rupees or something? 12 rupees. We sold it for 12 rupees. Then in 1970, Prabhupada published the Krishna book. And because we were selling magazines at 25 cents, maybe 50 cents, we didn't think we could sell a Krishna book, because at that time the Krishna book price was $8, and that was 1970. So within, in 1970, inflation is about 5 times. So there would be equivalent to having a book on the street now that you would have to distribute for $40. So $40 is what, 1,600 rupees or more?
2,000 rupees.
So imagine, you know, you were selling a 12 rupee magazine and now you have a 2,000 rupee book. You think, we can't sell that on the street, right? So, wild as I am, I thought, why not? Right? Why not? Why don't we try? So, one day, all the devotees got excited. They said, this will be so much fun. We'll all take one of these Krishna books and we'll go door to door. We would go to people's homes, knock on their doors to sell books. It's called door to door. Prabhupada sometimes says, go door to door in his preaching. So we go home to home, door to door. And we thought, this is such a fantastic idea. It's so wild, we got excited about it. And we thought, nobody's going to take the book, but it'll be fun just to try. That's how we thought. This is a wild idea. Because who would take a Krishna book unless they're a devotee? We only sold them at the temples. So who would spend all this money? You know, just some American person. Well, this was in Canada at that time. So there were 5, 6, or 7 of us, and we would all go out, let's say, for an hour, knocking on doors, and we'd sell our books, magazines, sell our magazines. And then we'd have a meeting point. We'd all come back, and we'd get in the vehicle. So we all got back, and we were waiting for one devotee. And the last devotee to get in the van, he said, guess what happened? Could you guess what happened? He sold the Krishna book. And we were in the van and we were banging the van like this. You know, I was 20 years old, I think, at that time. I banged vans more at 20 than I banged them now. So we couldn't believe it, we went crazy. So we said, wait a minute, I guess it's possible to do this. So right at that time, shortly after, a devotee from another temple who was from Canada, returned to Canada, and he came to our temple, just showed up one day. And he was a very tall devotee and very enthusiastic. And he had very big ideas for preaching, very huge ideas. So he was the right person to give this idea. I said, we have this idea to distribute Krishna books in mass. And when that idea entered his ear and brain, he went mad. He said, this is an incredible idea. So right at that time, Prabhupada had written this amazing letter And he said, if any devotee will go out to spread Krishna consciousness without considering how I will live, where I'll sleep, and where I'll eat, just go out and preach Krishna consciousness. Because in those days, we were spreading it all over the world. So sometimes it was like that. You go to a new country and you didn't know anybody. Like, where am I going to live and who's going to feed me? So, you know, you're looking in the phone book for Mr. Patel, you know, in some foreign country. Hopefully he'll, you know, give you some chapatis and a room in his hotel or something. You know? So, Prabhupada wrote this letter. He said, if you'll go anywhere and everywhere to spread Krishna consciousness, not caring how you live and how you eat, I will take the dust from your feet and I'll put it on my head. So we went crazy when we heard that. And we loaded the van with Krishna books. And we, the temple was very poor. We had no money. We could hardly pay the rent. We only had enough money to get to the next town. We filled up, we took that money, we bought the petrol. That was it. We had no money. And all we had in the van were books, and we had some beans and rice, uncooked beans and rice. That's all we had. Because we wanted to follow the order, if you go anywhere, not caring how you eat or sleep, you'll get the mercy. So if we took more money than that, then we wouldn't have to worry how we were eating and sleeping. So we decided, don't take more than $5, fill up the gas, put the petrol in, and then arrive in the next town with no money and no place to stay. What do you think of that? Sounds pretty fanatical, doesn't it? We were fanatical. But that's the way we wanted to do it. So we arrive in this next town at 8 in the evening in the Canadian winter. There was nobody on the street. We didn't know what to do. In those days, Sankirtan meant Harinam. That's all. That's all we did was Harinam Sankirtan. And then a devotee would distribute books with the Harinam Sankirtan. So this devotee I was telling you about that came to our temple, the one that was so enthusiastic, his name was Thakur Haridas. Very tall, kind of intimidating. He'd look down at you. Very enthusiastic. So we're on the street. We don't know what to do. We're in this town. It's a small town. There's no one on the street. All we knew to do was to do Sankirtan. So we got out and started chanting. And Haridas Thakur got out his Krishna book. There's nobody on the street, but he got out his Krishna book. So finally, one person comes walking down the street, kind of walking, wobbling. He's completely drunk. He was the local drunk of the town. Because he was the only one, because he drank so much, he was the only one who could stay warm outside. And so we're doing kirtan, and Thakur Haridas approaches him with the Krishna book. So we're there chanting, we're thinking, Thakur Haridas is crazy. Thakur Haridas, this guy is drunk. You know, we didn't say that, that's just what we're thinking, right? So we're chanting and we're looking and we're chanting and we're looking. And all of a sudden, about 3 minutes later, we see $8 going from the hand of the drunk to Thakur Haridas. So Thakur Haridas was amazing. So anyway, that evening we found a, what they call a hostel, and they put us up, they gave us a room, and they actually fed us breakfast. So we had $8, and the next morning we went door to door begging for people, saying, could you give some carrots, could you give some potatoes, could you give some salt, could you give some butter, because we wanted to cook our rice and everything. And we met a lady who was the aunt of a devotee, and she gave us all the cooking pots. So like, we were set, and we had enough money to go to the next town and start it all over with no place to stay, and we don't know anybody. We went on the street and we chanted, and we met some people who had a shop, and they said, you can stay in the back of our shop. So Haridas Thakur, now he was addicted to selling Krishna books because nobody in the world had yet sold Krishna books on the street. So it was starting to happen, and he was going crazy. He couldn't get out of his mind. We would distribute one book every 3 or 4 days. He would distribute 2 or 3 every day. So he was getting so addicted that one evening, when we laid down our sleeping bags to go to sleep and drink our milk, he ran out with Krishna books in the neighborhood. because where we were staying was in a neighborhood, and so he went house to house while we were getting ready. And he came back, beaming and effulgent. He said, "Prabhus, I just sold a Krishna book." And he was ecstatic, his big smile. "And I sold it to an atheist." And I said, "Thakur Haridas, what did you say?" I told him, "I'm ecstatic. You should take this book." And he took it. So that month, our traveling party, through the snows of Canada, sold 60 Krishna books.
Viva!
Which was the all-time world record for the sales of big books in ISKCON. Now, a really interesting thing happened. Would you like to hear it?
Viva!
We not only were selling books, but we were going on television, and radio, and newspapers, because no one had seen devotees before. We were the first devotees in these towns. In fact, we went to this town called Edmonton, which is on the same latitude of Russia, covered by ice like 9 months a year or 8 months a year. And there was a Hindu organization there. They never seen a white-skinned Vaishnava before. You know, we were like the first devotees they ever seen. And they saw us and they're like, you know, put their glasses back on, you know. So we did this amazing program with them and they were like completely overwhelmed. They were just practically breaking down because they were the, you know, Hindus in America and didn't know devotees existed. So these things were going on. So it was so exciting. I was writing letters to the devotees back in our home temple in Vancouver to describe what was going on because it was so ecstatic. Little did I know, they didn't tell me. They would read these letters and it was so ecstatic they were sending them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was reading these letters. So Prabhupada wrote us and he said, "This is the symptom of an advanced devotee. He takes every opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness." Because it was the first time it ever happened. So he saw that we had the enthusiasm and somehow figured out how to distribute a few books. And he said, "This is the sign of an advanced devotee. He takes every opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness." So that was the beginning of book distribution. Give you some inspiration.
Hare Krishna. I have got a very good experience in the Java workshop, especially because I normally chant 4 rounds and my chant was normally mechanical, like I just want to finish it and go, and you know, it's like a duty, like I have to finish.
Right.
But since day before yesterday, as you started the Japa, you told us to feel the earth and take deep breath and start slowly saying the Hare. And the moment you said Hare and the response from the devotees, Hare, it was so, so much effective for me. Please believe me, it was like an electric shock for me.
Wow.
The whole body was like an electric shock. I very much felt like that. And besides, from yesterday, I have chanted standing slowly, steadily and understandingly, and keeping it very qualitatively. So I'm very much thankful to you, Mataru. And I just want to know also, chanting number of rounds is important, the understanding little rounds with quality is good.
Quality is most important, but 16 rounds is the goal. But just don't think what number you're on. Don't worry about the number. The devotee was asking me, he said, "How do I know when I'm chanting properly?" I said, first thing is, you forget the number of rounds you're on. You don't worry about it. The next thing is, you forget where you are. You just lose, you don't even know where you're sitting. You don't even know what city you're in or what room you're in. You've totally lost that. You're with Krishna. And the third thing is, you forget you have a body. So it may come in stages. But forgetting the number is easier in the next two stages. But you actually see, if you're really absorbed, you sometimes forget where you are. You actually, because now you're with Krishna. And so in chanting like that, I had a realization once that if you really go deeply into the chanting, you're with Krishna. But if you go into your mind, then you're in your own leela. So you can be in your leela, or you can be in Krishna's leela. And you're already, we're already in our own leela the other 22 hours a day. So at least for two, we could go into Krishna leela. So it's like, why would I want to spoil Krishna leela by going into my leela while I'm chanting? Oh, I have to do this today, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's a pretty boring thing to think about, isn't it? So, it's a nice meditation. You know, whose leela am I going into when I chant? So, let's take a little break now. And when we come back from the break, I want to teach you a principle which I think is the most important. It's my favorite. And if you get this principle, we've been building up to this all weekend. So this is the cherries and cream and nuts on top of the cake. Okay? Now, if any of the women want to ask any questions during the break, we'll give preference to the women because they haven't had a chance. But first, I have to go to the restroom, and I'll be back in a minute. And then we'll try to meet at around 4 or 5, 4:05, 4. Anyway, just be around 4 o'clock. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.